Welcome back, Cowboys and Cowgirls, to Ingles and Ian, a CowboysBrightForFree.com .com podcast. And as always, your good friend and mine, the sweet sinker of serenity, Mr. Ian, and our two special guests, the soothsayer of Squinky, the founder of CowboysRideForFree.com, Robert Wetzel, and the siren of soliloquies, the fearless leader of CowboysRideForFree.com, Micah Allen. How's everyone doing today, buddy?
Buddies. I am fantastic.
I'm just so sad that nobody could see Micah doing the girl hair flip as you introduced.
I'm just happy I got through that with very minimal issues. I've been practicing those intros, like literally, I'll be like walking around work, like those for like days now.
Nobody's going to ever know that we sat here and we listened to you do it like six times. You nailed it.
Oh my God.
Everybody, that was his first try.
That was awesome. Props.
What did everybody think about the tech game?
Almost as boring as the Kansas game. Go ahead, Micah. I'm gonna get fired for interrupting Micah.
No. It was good. I enjoyed not being stressed. That was nice.
That's what, three or four games in a row now, and I don't know what to do with myself.
Wait, how are you not stressed?
I was pretty stressed.
After the first quarter, that game was over. It was
right.
Ian and I can promise you right now, until OSU scored the touchdown in the third quarter, I can promise you Ian and I were on the same Richter scale of anxiety.
And you were in the middle of a play.
And I'm sitting in a play where my wife has allowed me, her niece is playing Cinderella, and her wife is, my wife has allowed me to put headsets in, because I gave her the option. I said, would you rather me be looking at my phone, you know, flashing the white flash of the phone in the dark theater, or just sitting there by quietly and calmly as I listen to my headpiece? And when OSU scored that touchdown in the third quarter, I bruised her leg. I squeezed her leg. And she was, ow.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's hilarious. I think by when Tanner Brown got his field goal in the third quarter, I was like, I feel safe. I feel safe now.
Yeah.
It's a two-possession game. But, yeah, the defense looked really phenomenal. I had some concerns going into Texas Tech where, you know, they are on fire, usually on offense, air raid city right there. But, I mean, when you hold them to 83 yards passing, you can't help but be like, dang, okay, we were pretty good. We're pretty good on this defensive end of the ball.
Right, and Lubbock at night the week before Bedlam had every single opportunity to be a trap game, and the defense said absolutely not.
And that's the thing. Like, the last couple of games, they've come out, I wouldn't say shaky. They've given up like a, you know, field goal or whatever, or a decent drive, and I'm like, well, maybe the defense is going to regress, whatever. But they didn't even do that. That game was over from the first snap.
Yeah, on the defensive side. Yeah, absolutely on the defensive side. That was, I mean.
That might be more impressive than Kansas.
Yeah, and think about it.
But against a better team.
After Iowa State, it was.
Kansas.
Four straight weeks. Kansas, West Virginia, TCU, Texas Tech. Four straight weeks where the defense didn't get a chance to take a week off because they saw a freaky performance the week before. Four straight weeks.
Well, and I also think this is just the age of that defense coming through. You know, they are old. They might be the oldest defense in the country.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of like I'm the oldest person on CRFF. There you go.
Hey, but you're still putting out that content.
Right.
Yeah. I'm pumping it out. Yeah, I'm pumping out that content. That's what my doctor says.
Oh, my gosh. Right.
So, to only allow 108 yards of total offense to an already bowl eligible team. I know they're not the best team in the world, but this is a legitimate FBS Power Five conference team. 108 yards total.
That's total. Insane. Like, give Jim Knowles all of the money. Like, I give Jim Knowles all of my money. Like,
that's the sound of the truck bracking up. Okay.
Yeah, like, at this point, I am a believer in Jim Knowles and do whatever it takes to keep him.
I mean, he is great. But we will have a fall off next season. I mean, that's just.
But there's the question, though. We talked about it. It came up in our Slack. It's come up on Twitter. Is he the first $1 million coordinator in OSU history?
I think so.
Has to.
I agree. And I would not have a single problem with that. Like,
Well, considering a lot of coordinators in the SEC are making like $2 million, he should be making at least like, they should double the salary.
And it also kind of, you know, it'll beg the question, we'll obviously find out, what's his motivation, right? What is Jim Knowles looking for in his future as a coach? Is he just looking to be that guy? Or is he, you know, does he have a little Gundy in him, right? Wow, Stillwater's pretty cool. Oklahoma's pretty cool. The money I'm making here, I'll never spend here.
Right.
Well, I think that we'll find out a lot, right? I think you find out, and you'll continue your thought here in a second, Jay. I think you find out in this offseason, I think we find out what Jim Knowles' like motivation is.
Right.
I think the important thing is for Oklahoma State to extend him early, as like early as possible, because with all the openings, you know, LSU, Florida, USC, Washington, those are some big money programs. And a new head coach going in there is going to want to make a splash.
Yeah, but we don't have to worry about LSU because they're going to hire Lincoln Riley, right?
If the reports are true, they threw almost $100 million at that guy. But OU is open, which means another big splash hire.
All right, Jacob. Where was this thing you were seeing about Gundy was going somewhere and taking Knowles with him?
That's just what they were saying on the radio last night when I was driving home.
Who is they? Who is they? If you say Traber, we're just going to stop the podcast right now.
Oh, no, I don't pay attention to local Oklahoma sports media anymore besides us. No, but what I'm saying is that, like, if you're a coach and you want to make a big hire, right? And you want to get all the momentum, you're going to hire a finalist from the Broyles Award, at least.
Maybe, probably the
winner of that. So if I were whoever, and I basically have a blank check to do whatever I want to, why not go after the best defensive coordinator in college football?
So, and this is where I think his motivation lies. I'm not sure which one. I kind of lean towards one over the other. But I think for him, I don't necessarily think it's about the money, right? I think this is, do I want to be a head coach? Do I want to continue to be a coordinator? The dude's mad scientist enough that I lean towards, you know what? I'm going to stay in my DC lane. You know, head coach is a whole different animal, right? I don't need to be a CEO.
And he's done it before. I mean, I know only briefly. But he has a taste of it in his mouth. Right. So maybe he doesn't.
If Jim Knowles left, I feel like he would go to the NFL.
See that. I mean, I could,
because he's that kind of a guy. He's not the dude who wants to whip up the college kids. He's a player's coach. He's going to go in. He's going to work the room, you know.
Smoke some cigars,
be the badass dude that locks himself in the room on Mondays, according to Gundy, and probably watches cartoons, and, you know, and comes out with like some crazy ass plan. That's my gut. I have no idea. I mean, right. I work in IT and I'm on an amateur blog doing a podcast on Tuesday night. I've got no clue, but I mean, that's my gut is right. that if he lived, if he left, I think he'd go for like the NFL. I don't think he'd go for an SEC gig.
I tend to lean that way. You know, he is, you know, Ivy League and, you know, really smart and all that other stuff. So I don't know. I could see him much more going to the NFL because he is that more tactician style instead of just, he's not the, I don't want to say he's not the recruiter type DC, but he's more of the, I'm going to make you the best version of yourself type DC. And that's why you should come play for me. Not because rah, 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 go team, go you, I'll put you in the NFL.
And I think what that goes into is I think he's like the next generation of a Belichick, right? Because that's Belichick's thing. He can scheme defensively. That guy can scheme defensively and create issues for any quarterback in the league. And that's what Knowles does. It's like, I mean, we'll talk more about this when we get into Bedlam, but that what he's done the last 4 weeks, every single quarterback, insane. Right, who just blew it up the week before, the dude just blew it up the week before,
right.
walks All into OSU, sudden. And he's like, huh, what, where, wait, what, who, what, yeah. You know, it's right. like.
I got that John Mulaney reference.
I have no idea completely. What I just did. I'm tickled to death that it turned into a reference of some kind. Ian Nickel. I need to hear from Ian Nickel because he looks like he's boiling. It looks like he's putting something together over there. I need to hear from him.
Well, I was going to say, A, I think LSU is going to hire Dave Aranda at Baylor. B, the only I could see Knowles going to Temple and Temple only because he is a Philadelphia guy. And like, if he was just like, I'm burned out at OSU, I'm going to go to Temple, that sort of thing. Knowles' spot feels like kind of his last stand in a way. Because he's 62, I think. I don't know. I feel like he's just going to ride this one out. And then the rushing totals in that Texas Tech game, I know they're not a running school, but 26 carries for 25 yards. That's insane.
Yeah.
Like that rushing defense is phenomenal. And I know we were worried about the passing and just all of that, but man, that rushing total, you're looking at that and you're like, okay.
How about when they put the backup quarterback in?
How long? Well, they put him in.
Was it one or two series? They put that poor kid in.
Yeah. And he went 1 for 3, 0 yards.
It's like, why really?
Why did they do that? Were they just like, how they just got to the point where they're like, well, we're not going to win this one. I might as well get some experience or.
No, I was thinking Smith got dinged a little bit. I think. Okay. I thought Smith may have got dinged a little bit.
So they put him in
to give him a break or something. But it was like, holy crap. What are you doing to this poor kid?
Yeah. Well,
so there you go.
Let's just dive into it. It's Bedlam week. My anxiety has flared up like 10 times thinking about this game. It's just been consistently just like on the edge waiting for Jacob to say something. And I'm just like, you better not say it.
Jacob, better not say it. Step into it.
Well, I said last show, and I'll reveal my final score later, but I said last show that if Oklahoma State did not have to win Bedlam to get into the Big 12 title game, they would win by 20.
Yeah, what? 20? I mean, I'm confident, but 20?
Oh, Ian, come back. Sit down.
Ian, well, I don't know why Ian's here. Like, he's already flipped his laptop. I don't know what he's getting up like this for. He's heard this before.
No, Robert's scream just made me laugh. I had to get up. It was just the perfect cut scream right there. As soon as he said, he just goes,
Okay, so if you say we would get into it, so we're going to get into it.
Get it. One, do it.
Caleb Williams has not looked that great the last couple of weeks. what a well, no, and I'm going with the Belichick here. What Knowles is doing to young quarterbacks is very Belichick. And I think the tape is catching up with Caleb Williams. So in his first two games, he only had three sacks. He's been sacked 9 times since then. There is somebody catching up to him. And if anyone's going to catch up to him, it's Jim Knowles.
I 100% agree. Like, I think that we're going to make Caleb Williams not look great. Now, does that make me think that we're going to win by 20? Maybe not. But I don't see Caleb Williams having a great game. Like, I think Malcolm Rodriguez is going to have a field day with him.
I agree. It's something me and Ian have talked about is, like, even because I've watched more OU than I care to admit to this season. That's what happens when you date a sooner.
You can't say that on the podcast. I don't need to know.
You said it multiple times.
But
oh, okay. Listening to this
show. He makes bad decisions under pressure. And I know, I mean, I'm not trying to take anything away from his talent. He's obviously very skilled, but he's also 5 games
in.
He's 5 games into his college career. And Jim Knowles has proven he can destroy people like that. And that's what I think will happen.
Right.
This is,
I feel like I'm going to say valid, this. That's a valid point.
I feel like I'm going to say this for every take. On paper, OSU should win this game. But because of the history.
Right.
If it's any other team, we'd be going into this game feeling pretty confident in ourselves. Maybe not Robert, but pretty confident. Pretty confident. But because of that ONU on the helmet, it just does something to Cowboy fans. Just triggers some PTSD, brings back bad memories of everything that has happened. You know, you've lost 6 in a row, and you just – like, no matter how good of a team you have, there's OU just right there. And that scares the crap out of OSU fans.
All right. Did you notice that I had my ears covered until Ian started talking?
Doing something right. I'm doing something right.
Because, well, let's – okay. I'm gonna breathe a little bit here. Okay. This is – if I'm going to be okay, I'm breathing. Outside of 2011 and 2013, the best OSU football team walking into Bedlam in my lifetime.
Right.
And I will not allow myself for even a moment to think that in any universe that any OSU fan could potentially live in, that for whatever reason, we would walk into this game saying, hey, we win this game. Boop. No. No.
But okay. No, this feels like 2012 or 2011 to me. No, it really does.
I'm going to tell you what 2011 felt like. Let me tell you what 2011
felt like. I know what it felt like for me.
I was sitting next to my brother in the west end zone. Okay. And until Laundry Jones, I will never say Landry, I would say Laundry Jones, whiffed on the screen pass, and Rashetti Jones, who's got the worst hands in the history of a defensive lineman at Oklahoma State, happened to bup, and picked up the ball and in the end zone for a touchdown. That was the moment at which me and my brother went, okay.
Right.
And when Jamie Blatnick ran that fumble back. It was a cathartic. It was like a cathartic release of 100 years of bedlam anxiety in that. But that stadium.
And for those who don't remember, that was a 44-10 win by Oklahoma State.
Oh, and it was, and they gave up. Bob Stoops called it in. They mailed it in. They were running the ball at the beginning of the fourth quarter. They were running the ball. Run that clock, baby. Let's get out of here. We're done. And I just listen. Oh, my God. Have I lived through? I remember going on a hunting trip. And my dad and I going on a hunting trip in October was just an excuse to take the radio, AM radio, and listen to a OSU football game while we're walking around in the woods with the dog. Okay. And listening to Bedlam, and it was the Joe Washington punt return. Oh my God. Where it's like, we're ahead 13-10 at the half or something like that. And the opening kickoff of the second half or some bullshit, OSU doesn't even cover it. And OU covers it for a touchdown. And then there's a punt. And Joe, the radio announcer's like, it's a punt. Joe Washington has it. And there's a bit of a, you know, a pile up over on the sideline. And oh, there goes Joe Washington down the sideline. And it was like, we end up losing like 44-13 or some nonsense like that. So I am so ill. I sat in a hotel room with my dear friend. He passed away a few years back. Dear friend and his parents and my parents. And we watched the most squinky moment in the history of freaking Bedlam football when that ball went right through Brent Parker's arms in the back of that end zone. And that was 2013. Desmond Rowland, who couldn't outrun my dead grandmother. Okay. First play of the freaking game goes down the sidelines, and they call Charlie Moore for reaching out and grabbing somebody at the back of somebody's bra. The route was about to be on. They freaking grabs the back of somebody's bra, and it's like, woo, that's a flag, that's holding.
Yeah, the route was about to be on then.
And then it was like, no. And then the whole Jacob Gilbert boodly boo thing at the end. It was just like, that was so, that's just so Bedlam. There's no way I walk into this game, and I'm going to talk actual football. I'm going to talk actual football here. Oklahoma State is about to walk into a game against a team that will be, without question, the most physically talented team they've played all season at all the skill positions. Okay.
Right.
They are playing against the master offensive coordinator of what I actually refer to as cross direction, not misdirection. Not let's all go that way and send one guy that way. The dude who's the master at taking a play and actually creating situations of leverage in two different directions, right? You'll have front side, back side, and it's all a read. And it's maybe it's a play call at the moment. They're calling down from the booth or whatever. Lincoln Riley, as many struggles as they've had, that dude manages to get people in space like nobody knew they were ever going to be there.
But okay? He hasn't been able to do that.
That's against OSU.
But this is a different team. This is a different team, my friend.
There's no different team about it. Oklahoma State. It's Bedlam. Here's
my problem with Bedlam. My first exposure to Bedlam. So I did not grow up an OSU fan. I didn't become a fan of OSU until I decided to go there for college. Well, my freshman year is 2014. My first Bedlam as a student is 2014.
I broke my hand that game.
So I get spoiled, right? Like we win Bedlam my freshman year, and I'm like, yes, I'm gonna leave college undefeated, and then all of a sudden OU gets freaking Baker Mayfield. And that just goes out the window, and now I understand more of the history of, like, OSU just doesn't
be. This actually brings up a really interesting question about OU. What you just said is Lincoln Riley has always had old quarterbacks.
Right.
And so I'm wondering, is he shrinking the playbook because he's worried about his young quarterback now? Because he's had, well, three Heisman finalists and two winners in a row, right? I mean, that's
right. none of which he had to, like, mold from scratch.
Exactly.
They came.
And so, well, like, my question,
I don't think that necessarily calls into here. I that's a good point, Jacob. I think it's an excellent point. I don't think it necessarily calls into question his ability to develop a QB. But I think it absolutely calls into question he's been able to take advantage of veteran, you know, guys who, listen,
fifth year guys.
You remember what Gundy says, right?
Yeah.
It does not slow down for you until at least the 15th to 20th game in there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So Caleb Williams, listen, you'll get no argument from me. Caleb Williams, since Spencer Rattler can go play at UTSA, as far as I'm concerned. Okay. And that'll come back to bite me.
He was the presumptive Heisman favorite coming in this season. Yeah. Like,
that'll come back to bite me. That's, I'm sure Caleb will get dinged. Spencer Rattler will come in like freaking Blake Bell in 2013.
That's how it is. That's right? How it always is.
Yes,
Caleb Williams goes Ian down, gets that means it. Rattler's going to have a good game.
Ian or gets
Caleb
it.
Williams turns it around. You just never feel safe, no matter how good this defense is, because we thought the defense was really good last year. And what? They scored 41 points.
It was really good last year. It is exponentially better this year.
Yeah, which means they'll score 28 points.
Hey, as long as we score 29, and we can do 29.
Yeah, When's the last time? When's the last time? Take
against
away
OU's defense, can we score 30 points?
Take away TCU and Kansas, because Kansas is and TCU Kansas. Don't have defense, okay? When is the last time Oklahoma State's offense scored 29 points against anyone that we thought had even a mediocre defense? Let's do that math. Pull that up right
here. First off, Oklahoma doesn't seem to have a good defense.
There was a defensive score. Yeah.
Well, all we got to do is score 29. Okay. I'm not saying the offense will score 29. I'm saying the team will score 29.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
Texas, I'm not saying the team's going to put up 32 like on their own on the offense. I just think we're going to put up at least 30.
30 points is doable.
30 points, right? Is
like
doable.
It doesn't matter how you get it. 30 points is doable.
Especially
to win this game.
With what we've been doing with young quarterbacks and flushing them out and making them make bad decisions, I think a pick six or a good position pick is really viable in this game.
That'll be the key to winning the game, to be completely honest with you. If you win the turnover battle and you get a defensive score, that'll be the reasons that OSU could potentially win the ball game.
And my guess is just because of the snub of Malcolm Rodriguez, he's going to get at least one touchdown. I would not be shocked if he had.
Has Malcolm ever, has he scored a touchdown his entire career?
I don't know.
Recovery against
this would be the one. That dude could get a statue next to Barry if he does it in this one.
I mean, fair.
100%.
Cowboys Ride for Free could sponsor that statue.
I'm gonna reach out to him for an NIL deal if that happens.
Oh, yeah, right.
Oh, do it.
It'll be an NIL deal for like two games.
Wait a minute.
Fair. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Can we just take a tangent moment here for a second and talk about how absolutely brilliant, on whatever level you want to put it on, that NIL deal with Applebee's and that walk on at Kansas.
Dude, that was so good. So good.
That was so good.
2 for 22. You always got to go for two. That just, to me, that encapsulated the brilliance of the NIL and the absolute suckitude of Texas. I hope they go, 0 for like 22 in conference play or some bullshit like that. You arrogant.
Weird tangent on NIL, but like, I'm surprised we haven't seen a lot of basketball NIL deals. Because that's always been where the money is, sneakers and everything. Maybe they're already still paying the colleges on the table, whatever. But I'm surprised that like there hasn't been more like Nike deals with whoever the top recruit is, or you know.
I'll say for OSU's sake, they're probably pretty weary about deals nowadays with
that could be
everything that's happened with the NCAA. So.
I mean, just in general. I mean, I haven't heard a big NCAA basketball NIL deal.
Yeah. Right.
Because they can get big money going to the G League or whatever. I'm sure there's deals already in place that we just don't know about. Maybe we'll
probably waiting to announce it until like they get into the like deep into the season.
Yeah.
Well, there's March probably Madness, there's probably not as much pressure there because there is. I think you're correct. I think there's more opportunity there, you know, outside of college. You don't just have to, you know, there's not a lot of opportunity outside of college if you're not going to the NFL.
Right.
So there's quite a bit of opportunity in a number of areas for literally almost any other sport, including basketball. So I mean, again, amateur opinions here. It feels like football is kind of where that, you know, where that sits, but I don't know. This just feels the only thing I've said this on Twitter, the only thing that gives me any comfort at all, if I can have any comfort in this process, is the fact that it doesn't mean anything for Oklahoma State.
Right.
Screw the playoff. Nobody gives a crap about the playoff. The Invitational. I like that too. Brando calls it the Invitational, and he's absolutely right. And I don't care because whatever that ends up being, it's nothing that Oklahoma State controls. Right. So yeah. I thought Gundy was good about it. He's like, no, we're treating this like this is the last game. Right. Everything else is bonus. We'll treat this like it's the last game. And Oklahoma State has done some of its best work in Bedlam when they literally, there was nothing on the table to really worry about except screw OU season. And this would screw their season. Assuming Baylor doesn't just step on their wanker against Texas Tech. I'm trying
Ian, to... It sounds like Robert's getting on that hope train a little bit.
No,
it's a hope rocket ship now. You've taken it to new heights after that freaking 21-point prediction debacle last week. It's a hope rocket ship now. It is elevated.
I think it went from rocket ship to team of destiny last time. Or two episodes ago.
20 points to 40 points to, I was like that close to blocking him on Twitter. It's like, I can't see this. La, 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 la.
No, that was just, to screw with you, man. I was literally doing that just to screw with you.
And I think win or lose, if they win out or if they lose out, I think there's still a really good chance that they go to a New Year's Six Bowl. And at the end of the day, with expectations that they were going to finish, you know, fourth, and we were looking at, maybe the Cheez-It Bowl again. Win or lose, I know it's going to suck if they lose to – if or will they lose to OU twice. But 10-3 season is still pretty good.
Going –
Go ahead.
I was just going to kind of bring it back to the game at hand. Like, so with it not mattering whether or not you win this game, right? Whether or not, you know, with it not mattering whether or not you win this game, do you hold back a little bit and save some stuff in case you have to play them in the championship?
No.
Oh, heck no. Because there's the opportunity of beating them now. And then you face Baylor. Like, you have to, if you don't win this game, you're not winning at a neutral site, because OSU is at home. You in all actuality, you have to win this game because you're not beating OU.
I think we should all be able to agree, minus Jacob's completely unreasonable hope rocket ship stuff. I think we could all agree that if you gave us our choice of, would you rather play OU or would you rather play Baylor in the championship game?
You want to play Baylor.
I think we all agree you would rather play Baylor, correct? Right, yes. Jacob? Right.
Yes.
Right, Jacob?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Okay. Good.
But all Baylor, right. I mean, Baylor scares me too. I'm not going to lie. Like, they're Baylor a good team.
Doesn't scare me.
The thing at with all? Them is we threw three picks and still won. So that...
Micah just called me out at all. So when I say they don't scare me, let's not take that the wrong way. Okay, that is not bulletin board material. As if that would matter to Baylor football that I said that. If the point being, going into the Baylor game, I'm like, we can beat that team. I'm sitting there going, we can beat that team. Squinky. Right. Get rid of Bedlam. We could beat that team. We did it already with, as you said, we did it already with Spencer, with really bad Spencer. The worst of his
maybe career Spencer.
That was as bad a Spencer as we got other than the Texas Tech game, right? Two years ago.
Yeah.
In 2019, right? So that, you know, we could go into that game saying we can beat those guys. We can beat them. This game you walk into, just, can we beat them? Yes, we can beat them. Will we beat them? You know?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I was, and like, I kind of had already known what you guys were going to say. I just kind of wanted to pose the question in case somebody was going to be like, hot take away.
Because you are the grand leader and you know all and see all.
I mean, yeah, but I, to me, that's the hardest part about being in the Big 12 is no matter who you play in the championship, you've already played them.
Well, and that's the thing I love about it. I love the round robin. I love it in football. I love it in basketball. Like, I know if I go back to 12 teams, that was inevitable at some point, but I love it. I love that. Unlike the SEC, where you can dodge opponents because there's 14, we'll be 16 teams soon, you can have a relatively easy schedule. Not in this current Big 12. You've got to face everybody no matter what every year, and I love that. It is the truest test of college football, in my opinion.
And then, you're absolutely correct, the greatest test in college football. And then, what do we do? The Big 12 bullshit rematch. You got to play somebody again.
Right, which is harder than playing somebody for the first time. Like I said, it's the best test in college football.
No, I'm disagreeing with this. I'm disagreeing with this. Beat Baylor, why do I have to beat them again? I beat them. Why do I have to beat them again? This is why we have to get into, honestly, I posted something on Cowboys Ride for Free, I think before Ian was born. It was my bid for super conferences or something, right? Mm-hmm. And it was essentially whatever the stupid podcast, 10, 12, it's going to be the 15-13 podcast before long or some nonsense like that. that you would have basically a conference, but you'd be aligned with another conference, let's say, right? Mm-hmm. So that you guys, you're playing, and whoever your champion is, and I go with what you say, Jacob, round robin, you play the round robin. And if you beat everybody, I don't have to play somebody I beat again, right? You play your round robin, you win. Now you're going up against these guys over here. And the winner between those two, you move into the playoff.
I think, right?
So it's literally almost like a super conference, but not, you know, it's not like where you'd have, say, the Big 12, where you have two six-team divisions. It'd be literally, it'd be more like you'd have 2 7 or 8 team divisions where you're going to play a round robin amongst those teams. And that's it. And whoever comes out of that plays the other one. And whoever right. comes out of that, you're into the playoff. And I had a whole thing mapped out for like a 16 team, essentially a 16 team play. Well, it looked like a 16 team playoff, but it according to the way I had it drawn out, it's an 8 team playoff because you'd have one team coming out of each of the super conferences.
Right. That makes right? sense. Mm.
But it's just like, what? You know, it's like, I don't want to, if we beat OU, right, we've beaten all the teams we're supposed to beat. And now we got to beat Baylor again. Right.
Because we didn't have a championship game in 2011. They perceived that as the reason Oklahoma State didn't go in.
Yeah. What year was that? It wasn't 2011. It was what year was it that?
There was also
was TCU and Baylor.
TCU Baylor was a big one.
It was
one
the
too,
TCU Baylor thing because TCU was ranked above Baylor, even though Baylor beat TCU on with some kind of fluky ass play.
Yeah.
But I don't know. This is Ian and I are you know, if Ian and I were watching the game together, you could probably have video and we'd both be curled up in the corner of the room, like in a fetal position at some point in this game, you know? So, well, let's talk about the game. Let's talk about the game. We've enough of the anxiety bullshit. Let's talk about the game. Go ahead, Jacob.
Like our score predictions or
no.
You know, I'll get into it. Caleb Williams, their last four games, below 200 is passing, one game under 100. A lot of sacks. OU is penalty happy as all get out. 138 penalties this year. And they're averaging 12.5 penalties per game, 105 penalty yards per game, 8.3 yards per penalty. And Oklahoma State, and I know Robert's got the stats here, they thrive on that.
Yeah, Oklahoma State, by the way, as I've mentioned, leads the Big 12 in penalties gained or first downs gained by penalty.
Yeah, that's huge.
It's huge.
And I feel like that's just going to be one of those extra little pieces that makes this game work for us.
Right. And going into the Texas Tech game, you brought up that, I think, was it you or Ian brought up me. The last thing? Yeah. It was you. Brought up how Texas Tech was having an issue with penalties. And Oklahoma State at that time, I think, had 20 first downs gained on penalties, which was leading the conference. And they're now at 28 after the Texas Tech game. That's going to be a key spot. Ian, I think I interrupted you. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say OU only had 4 penalties in their game against Iowa State for 42 yards. I'll have to look back on that Baylor game to see how many penalty yards they have. If you just give me 1 second as I continue to stall, but
I think I'll stall for you. The thing that gives me a little pause here is that while OU had some absolutely defensive struggles, you know, up until the break, right? Up until the bye week for them, that they played a decent game against Iowa State. Now, granted, frickin' Brock Purdy, you dingleberry, jack wagon, you know. Course you lay an egg, you know, against them and not us. You play your best game of the year, a perfect freaking game almost, against us, but you lay an egg against OU. They played better in that game.
Well, the thing that worries me the most is OU has forced 20 turnovers.
Yep.
That's and granted, and we can get into this later because I know Ian wants to get into something, but that worries me a lot.
So, yeah, OU had 9 penalties in that Baylor game, but I think the biggest area of concern, I think it's going to be, we saw against Texas Tech, Jerick Bernard Converse, the cornerbacks, and pass interference penalties, because Bernard Converse had 3 crucial pass interference plays. And there's a blueprint. You throw it deep, and Bernard Converse turns his back to the defender. That's going to get called PI every time because, A, it is, and then we know how Sooner Voodoo works. So at that point, I think Converse needs to go through a how to not commit pass interference class.
But is that terrible? Is that terrible in college? With OSU's defense,
it's not. I don't think
I'm
so.
I'm afraid that OU will take advantage of that. And that might be a big.
Well, the thing is, yeah, there were a lot of PIs then, but has not been a big issue for us.
I'm just thinking. Here's where I would think you take advantage of it. Like, here's how you take advantage of it: is you throw the pass interference play like 3 times. You end up half the distance to the goal in the red zone. And while OSU's defense is allowed like half the number of red zone possessions as the next closest team, when you get into the red zone, you score touchdowns against them. And so to me, it would be the bad thing about the pass interference part would be if it continues to happen in situations where you can't get off the field, right? Because that's the whole deal. You want to get off the field. If that continues to be an issue where you can't get off the field, fine. That's a problem. We've really only had the big issue with the deep ball, right? That's really been where the issue has been. And generally speaking, teams aren't just continually chucking it. They're trying that once, maybe twice a series. They're going to go deep and you get a pass interference play. Okay. 15 yards. And then the very next play, somebody freaking sacks somebody for a 5-yard loss. Right.
Right.
And then, right. So
yeah, the coverage is too good.
That's not a bad point, Ian. It's not a bad point. That has that been quote unquote an issue? Is it something you say, hey, he's committed a lot of those penalties this year? Has it hurt the defense in possession? And I think the answer would be, let's go. If you could go back and look, right? If there was a way to quickly or easily look, which there's not, a way to say, okay, on the possessions where OSU has committed pass interference, what percentage of those possessions have resulted in a score for the opposing team? And I think the answer on that is going to be like there's not going to be a lot.
Right. Well, and
this isn't the NFL, right? Where it's a spot foul, you know, it's the old, this is a 15 yard penalty. And I disagree with people that want it to be a spot foul. I disagree with that.
This guy scares me the most. I think Marvin Mims scares me the most, knowing what happened, because I was at that Bedlam game in 2020 where he cooked OSU repeatedly. I'm afraid it could happen again. Straight up afraid it could happen again, because I think Caleb Williams likes to throw the deep ball like that. And OU's receivers might have magnets for hands at this point. We don't know. We might have it.
Micah, they will.
Micah wanted to bring something up. What do you want to bring up, Micah?
Sorry. I was just going to say, I'm kind of going to switch over to offense and say that my biggest thing with this game offensively is we cannot afford to have Tay Martin dropping as many balls as he did last week.
Yes. And that was out of character for him. So
is it like, though? Is it though?
I don't think it's out of character.
He's generally pretty sure-handed.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Yeah, that's fair. He's had a couple of bad games.
I'm not feeling the love here. But I'm overall, really not feeling the confidence overall, in the love here.
I don't know. Like I said, regardless of whether or not it's characteristic of him or not, we need him to have a solid game. Like, we cannot have him drop passes.
Okay, let's go at it this way, if Jacob's okay with this, mm-hmm. I would suggest let's start with, before we get to like who we think our players of the game will be and our score predictions and that kind of stuff, what's the part of the game that scares you the most? What's the part of the game where you feel like you almost have some confidence, right?
I am worried, especially because of last year. I am terrified of the first quarter. If it's tight or Oklahoma State's winning in the first quarter, I think we'll probably pull out. But, I mean, like you said, Lincoln Riley, for everything I've said about him this podcast, he's a very smart football coach. Does he have the paintbrushes to paint a master's piece against this defense? I don't know. However, it looks like we kind of get out of the gate slow on defense. If it's close I think the first quarter will dictate the game. If we're up by 10 or up by 3 in the first quarter, I think we win. If we're down by 7, it's game's over.
I hate that you're deciding games by the end of the first quarter.
I know.
I don't like that. I get it. I don't like it.
Easy now. Let's not have any altercations here.
This game makes me so, I'm dreading. My biggest concern is going to be the offense. I know I mentioned Bernard Converse, but if you can't score, because this is a team versus talent game, you're gonna have to outmatch. Well, mainly the O line. Is the O line going to be healthy? Is Danny G? His last name's hard to say, but
God bless him.
Say that again.
Godlewski. It's not that hard to say.
Godlewski. Okay.
Godlewski.
I've never taken the time to pronounce it. But if that O-line's not healthy, Isaiah Thomas is going to have a field day. So that O-line needs to be 100% healthy. And if they're not, that's going to be the difference between 10-2 and 11-1.
And I'll say the thing that scares me personally the most is I think we're going to beat them through the air, because they do have a pretty decent run defense. Especially, Warren had a rough game last time.
And we don't know what Warren, have we heard anything on Warren's stat? Like, is he hurt?
He got the word was he got. I heard on another podcast, it was the Feels Like 45 podcast, said they thought he got dinged in like the helmet, right?
And again, that game was never really all that close. So, and Gundy probably wants to keep him chill.
He came back in. He came back in later in the game and then went right back out. Like he had one carry and went right.
And
back
it worries out. Me. But just looking at OU's defensive stats, if you're going to beat them, you've got to beat them through the air. And that is terrifying.
Yeah. Spencer Sanders having to beat anybody through the air terrifies me.
But the thing is they do give up a lot of yardage. So maybe, I don't know. Like I know who my, I've already put in the notes who my offense player of the game is going to be, but I could see Presley like, you know, especially if we exploit the play action, everything else, I could see him going for like 175 yards.
Yeah, but he's questionable.
I know. But you know he's going to want to win this one.
Everything scares me about this game.
understandable.
it's
pick one thing.
If I had to pick one thing, it's going to be, remember Baylor's fourth down play? They went for it at midfield and ran for a touchdown.
Yeah.
I'm scared of the big play for them on offense. That's what I'm scared of. Mm-hmm. Oklahoma State's defense, I think, will bog the game up, will slow them down, you know, whatever. But there is enough skill player talent on their side of the ball. OU's got skill players. Okay. They're fast, whatever. Knowles likes to play aggressive in different ways. And when you've got two like master chess players, okay, going against each other, to a degree, it's almost like luck. It's like, who calls the right thing at the right moment in the right position and bluey. And so my biggest thing is if they hit big plays, okay, I would almost go back to this, that I think Oklahoma State's defense can keep them under 30. I think they can keep them under 30. Minus turnovers, right? You can't have bad Spencer. You can't have fumbles, right? You can't have that nonsense. You can't just have a long string of three. You can't just keep putting the defense back on the field because right. Lincoln Riley's, those guys are not going to go three and outs. Those guys are not going to go boom, boom, like Texas Tech or Kansas or TCU where they just
but they have, together. Though. They have done that a lot.
They're not going to reel, but they're not going to reel together five or six or seven three and outs. Okay. They're going to pull an Iowa State. They're going to pull some drives where they're going to string together. Hey, they may not score, but they're going to string together more plays. Right. I think they're good enough to do that. And so for me, I don't know that I have the confidence in the offense because OSU's offense is going to score 24 points, give or take a couple of points. That's what they're going to do.
Right.
They're going to score 24 points, give or take a few points, minus a defensive score if that happens or a special team score. OSU's offense is scoring 24 points, give or take three or four. Okay. That's it. There's no question about it. The question is if Oklahoma State's defense can keep OU from hitting big plays, they can maybe hold them down around 20. And in that case, Oklahoma State can win the game. If you give up a big play or two, right? Or say you give up a defensive score, I think that's going to be a problem. OSU's offense is beat up a little bit in the wrong places. And I just, this is freaking bedlam. God dang it. This is bedlam. It's bedlam.
Yeah,
I don't trust it.
Yeah. I see where you're coming from for sure. I feel like we always go into this game injured, right? Like I don't know what it is. I squinky. I'm telling you, like, I don't have, I mean, I have, I know that there are the pieces, like
OSU Mike is stuttering a lot here and you can tell this has her tied up in knots.
We have the pieces to win, right? I just don't know if OU is going to let us use them, right? Like, I don't know. Like you were talking about, this is going to be a chess match. This is going to be a chess match between Lincoln Riley and Dimnals. Like, that's, and it's just going to be a matter of who comes out on top. And I.
Interesting matchup, by the way. It's an interesting matchup of strength on strength and weakness on weakness.
Right.
If you just look at numbers, right? If you just look at numbers, right? Our offense is not our strength. Their defense is not their strength. Our defense is our strength. Their offense is their strength.
And like I've said, offense or defense generally doesn't bog down in general. Offense can. And something I'm just eyeballing on their schedule, is this OU's first night game?
No. Really?
It wasn't against Iowa State.
11.
Have they played 11 and 2?
Wait. They played Western Carolina at like 6 p.m.
Okay. So this is.
Does that count?
This is Caleb Williams' first night game in a hostile environment. That's going to matter.
Boone Pickens is going to be lit up.
Oh, yeah.
It is. Yeah.
And if someone can give me tickets, please let me know.
If you sell your ticket to an OU fan, I
will hunt you down.
I will hunt you down
because I will be in Oklahoma this weekend and I'm trying to find tickets, but they're all like $400-$500 a piece right now. I'm like, oh man,
BPS is going to be, that place is going to be absolutely electric. And even though it's like, you know, I just go back to the Texas game. Let's go back to the Texas game where they came out, they hit us quick, right? We were in trouble. We were on the ropes.
Right.
I mean, that game was one play from being over.
Yep.
And that one play went our direction, and then that was that. So it's that place, if you can keep that stadium in that environment, if you can keep that stadium engaged, I think that stadium could, with the defense.
It's going to get to him. It's going to get to him.
With the defense. With the defense.
Yeah.
I hate inform you. But
No.
TCU was a night game for them. At 6:30, and so was West Virginia. So Caleb Williams has played a night game.
Okay.
So he's played a night game.
He's played a couple of night games against
Crabbe. Played a night game.
But it was at West Virginia,
correct?
Do you play?
He didn't play till Texas.
Those were at home, right?
West Virginia.
They were at home, yes. Yeah. So he hasn't had a night game in a road environment.
Yeah.
Oh, BPS will be an inauguration for him.
Yeah.
Well, if you look at his road games was Kansas, which was much closer than the score predicts, and then a loss of Baylor. Like, he has not played well on the road at all.
Am I going to?
Well, let's just.
There it is. There's the sign, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
No.
Am I going to do this?
No, you're not. You're not. We talked about this.
One of us.
Ian, we talked about this. Are we going to have an intervention?
Also, that side, right, so that side definitely about, hit the over. That we talked about earlier. About,
did we all talk about what we were afraid of?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. What do we feel like is going to work? What do we, if we walk into the game with some confidence, what do we feel like is going to work? And I already said, I think the defense.
I will put it up there besides the defense.
The defense, I think, can keep Oklahoma, like, they're not going to score 40 or 50 points. That's not going to happen against this defense.
I think Dunn has figured out the offense enough to keep OU off balance enough that we can score. I'm not saying we're going to score 40, but I'm saying we can have successful drives. I'm not asking for a lot here. I'm just saying successful drives.
Okay, I'll stop now. I'm laughing. Someone stop.
I think you're right. I think that Spencer and Tay Martin have had games where they've clicked. They've, you know, he's been able to hit them. And, you know, I think that if that continues, I think that we're not going to have a problem scoring 30 to 35 points in this game. And I think if you can do that, you can win. Stop laughing. I'm not going to get my opinions anymore if you're just going to laugh at me. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, I mean, I think if we can score 30 points, that's the threshold. Because like you said, I think the defense can handle their business enough to keep OU from scoring, keep OU at in between 24 and 30 points.
If OSU's offense scores 30 plus points, Oklahoma State will win this game by double digits.
Maybe.
Maybe.
My whole thing, I think, with the offense, it's going to have to be, you need to dominate the running game. You need to blow them out of the water with the running game, with Warren, with Richardson, maybe sprinkling a little Desmond Jackson in there. You're going to have to win this game with your running backs. You may have to pull out of Boise State where Spencer throws it like six times. You need to go just hit the ground running, because Breece Hall, if I am not mistaken, and I very well could be mistaken, Breece Hall had a pretty great game against 19 carries. He did not have. Okay. So 19 carries, 58 yards. And
I was going to say, I don't know what you watched, but.
Well, you know what OSU needs? They might need the Cowboy backs to come and, you know, they need Charlie Kohler out of the freaking sky to come down, because they left him open. You might need your Cowboy backs to just be on a different level. You may need the, you know, freaking Blake Jarwin to
Logan
come back.
Carter has the game of his life.
Yeah.
What?
You know what? You know what would have been great? If Jelani Woods didn't transfer, you know how amazingly useful he would be in this game?
Oh, Jesus. What universe?
Losing Jelani Woods hurts so bad.
I'm sorry. What universe was Alex Grinch living in?
One where he might have the Washington State job already. Dude, I don't know.
Dude, the best receiver on the field catches maybe two passes in a row. I'm whistling down. Okay, we're double covering this guy. They're like five plays. You just Charlie Kohler running one-on-one, standing wide open in the middle of a zone. Mm-hmm. He is standing wide open. They threw the ball once to him after like three catches. He gets another catch. There's nobody within 5 yards of him. Any direction. Oh, my God. Anyway, I'm sorry. I digress.
Yeah. Can that happen? Can we get some of that, please?
Can we have some of that, please, right?
Yeah.
Okay, please, so please, so we had what we're afraid of. We have what we think we have some confidence in. I think we go to Jacob's thing. Who are our offensive and defensive players of the game? Jacob, go ahead, because you gave yours up in the Slack already in your notes.
I did, but something I'm interested to watch for is, because You know, all the big award announcements came out this week. Malcolm Rodriguez obviously got snubbed, should have been in there. Everyone's saying he's going to light people up. Jaylen Warren should have at least been in the conversation, probably wasn't. So I wonder if those guys who got snubbed are like, well, screw you guys. I'm going to prove why I should have been on that list. And so that's something I'm really interested to see in this game.
Right.
Well, but who was your offensive and defensive players?
Malcolm Rodriguez. I think he's going to light people up. He might not have the best stats, but he's going to hurt somebody. Because there's been a lot of people I've seen on Twitter who know him, who's like, yeah, even though he tweets out, he doesn't care, but he cares, and he's going to prove himself. He's that kind of guy.
And you think he's going to do what?
At least two picks, one for pick six, and two sacks.
Ian just threw his hat on the ground.
Can't say things like that, man. I mean, you can say you have a big game, but just two picks? Does he have a pick ever?
I don't know, but I really think we're going to be getting to. We're going to be living in the backfield again.
This is like we have done for the last four or five games.
We're going to be living in that backfield.
If you said two sacks or something, I'm probably with you. I don't think he's going to get two picks. He might get a fumble recovery. He's not going to get a pick.
He's going to look. Keith's going to throw some bad ones over the middle, and he's going to just be there.
I think they're going to be deep enough to where it will go to Colby or.
Yeah, and that might be true. That might be true, but I think he's going to have the game of his life.
I mean,
it's just too bad this is not a video podcast because the incredulousness on Ian's face. He hasn't, he threw his hat like 20 minutes ago.
He hasn't got to pick it up.
And he hasn't even recovered from that. Like, that's and don't pass out, the two of you. Don't pass out. I am a little bit in Jacob's camp here.
But that's right, mother.
No. Your mother is not going to listen to this now, you bad person.
I didn't curse. I got there, but I was close.
So, you got really close.
So,
like Presley against Iowa State close.
Oh, man.
So this is what I'll say. I don't think that – I'm not going to put it on one player. I'm not going to say Malcolm Rodriguez does X, Y, and Z. I think he's going to be all over the field. I think that guy is going to be like the Tasmanian devil. I think he's going to be everywhere. That being said, I think the entire defense almost kind of rallies around that to the degree that we've seen in the past where it's not any one guy.
Exactly.
Right? It's a Colin Oliver. It's a Martin, Brock Martin. It's Evers in the middle. Tua, Ia, whatever, their guys in the middle. It's like Derek Harper. How about our Jason Taylor, who he is the touchdown dude, right? That I think the defense, let's put it this way. If OU hits big plays, it's going to be because they call like kind of the right thing in the right moment. Right.
It's not going to be the defense's fault. You're just going to be like, oh, that was a good
thing. It's not going to be because that defense is not just pile driving people and just flying around and making Caleb Williams run around like a maniac because he just can't find relief. I think the defense is going, whatever we've seen up to this point, you think the volume was turned up to 10. The volume is about to be turned up to like 20.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be like next level. I think defensively, I think the defense is going to like take it to another level. The question will just be, does Lincoln Riley figure out the right plays and the right moments to hit some big shots? Right. Because that could happen. OU's talented enough that can happen, right?
And he's going to make it like he's Lincoln Riley's a smart enough coach. He's going to make adjustments. Like,
they haven't adjusted.
The thing is,
well,
all these coaches are really smart. I mean, yeah, Riley's smarter than That's most, fair. But still, and no one has been able to do it yet. We've only gotten better in the second halves against teams. Even when we put in the backups, they still dominate.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah, that's fair.
So,
all right. So offensive player of the game.
Well, offensive.
Ian and Micah didn't give theirs.
Yeah, they didn't give their defensive.
Oh, I thought we were doing each offensive, defensive. Okay.
No.
Okay.
No,
so no. I guess I'll go defensive. I'm going to have to agree with Jacob. I think Malcolm Rodriguez is going to have one of the best games of his career. You know, it's Bedlam. He's an Oklahoma kid. He knows what this means to Oklahoma State. He knows.
He's never won. I think it's one of the big ones. He's never won it.
Right. And you know, it's going to be, he's a senior. It's a senior day. You know, I don't see Malcolm Rodriguez not having the game of his life, because he's always, since I've kind of started following him, he's always been a player that I feel like feeds off of the moment, right? He understands, to quote TikTok, he understands the assignment. And, you know, I don't know. I think that he's going to be the star of this defense in this game.
Ian is over here. Ian is over here grinding away on stuff.
What did you say, Ian?
I said, so Robert, TikTok is a social media app where
what?
You like lip sync and like dance and do skits and everything. I'm trying.
Okay. Now, despite the fact that you're making a very good play there, because I'm just an old person who doesn't understand.
He does have a freshman in high school as a son.
I have high school sophomore in my house.
Oh, sophomore. Sorry.
High school sophomore in my house. I know what TikTok is. Okay.
I apologize.
But that was okay. No, that was an appropriate play. That was an appropriate play. I'm, you know, listen, I know how to use Twitter. That's a shocking thing for someone who's going to be 60 in a couple months. So I'm waiting because I can tell you're like looking at stuff over there on your phone or your computer, whatever it is.
Ian's got thoughts.
I'm ready for this. I'm ready for this. Fire. Do it. Come on, Ian.
So I want to differentiate myself. I want to make myself a little different. I want to stand a little bit.
You want to differentiate yourself?
Yep. Words are hard. You know that. I know that.
Yes.
It is what it is. I wanted to say it, but I messed up. I'm going to differentiate myself. I think I said it wrong again. I don't care. Jason Taylor, the second, is going to be the guy that I think is going to, if you don't get a big play out of him, you probably don't win this game. And I think a big play is due. We haven't had a big play from him in a while. Well, the last big play he had was what? The interception against Kansas. So I think he's due for a big play, whether it be a blocked field goal or an interception or a pick six. I think that he is going to be, you're going to need him.
The game against Texas.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're that going to need play. Him to be the difference maker.
Yeah. I that makes sense. Like, I think that, you know, he has kind of been our turnover machine this year, turnover for points machine. Colby Harvell-Pill is definitely capable of picking off Caleb Williams. I think that, you know, that is a possibility. Colby Harvell-Pill just hasn't scored off of his turnovers, and Jason Taylor has. So,
you know, they're not that turnover crazy, OSU. I think they have like a few fumbles and a few interceptions.
The defense you're talking about.
Yeah, defense.
Yeah.
Like, they've been getting all of this done through like punts and not that many turnovers. It's
stuffing them. Yeah. They're just stuffing offenses.
Yeah.
It's
they had 12 turnovers on the year. Wait, hold on. 14 turnovers on the year. So a little over one a game.
But that's not a lot, right? It's not like, good God, the 2011 defense was like every time you turned around, they had a turnover.
Right. It's true. But it's also a very different Big 12 that was throwing the ball 50 times. 50 no, times.
True.
Again.
True. Yeah. And good boy.
That is true.
Oh, yeah. No, I like the Jason Taylor pick.
You already picked. Quit kissing his ass. You already picked Malcolm Rodriguez. Don't come on.
I didn't say I was changing mine.
I already figured out. Ian's the favorite child here. I get it. Okay.
Well, what's your pick?
He's
your
the
pick,
child here.
I said the entire defense.
I said the entire defense.
I'm 60 years old almost. I don't care. No, okay. That was my pick, was that I think the entire defense will feed off the Malcolm Rodriguez thing.
Okay.
I think they're just going to, like, I feel like if you're Caleb Williams, it's going to feel like there's 14 defensive players on the field.
Yeah.
That's what it's going to feel like.
All right.
Now, he might make plays. He's talented. He can run. He might make plays. Lincoln Riley may call some things that have quick hits that go blow for big plays. I feel like those guys are going to be all over the place. I feel like the defensive energy is going to be just off the chizang. Yes, I went there.
All right. Okay. Offense. Jacob, who's your
offense?
Pick?
Jaylen Warren. He's had a couple off games. He hasn't been used as much. Well, I mean, obviously not the one where, you know, the blackout night. But I think everything going on, he seems to feed on the energy, and there's going to be insane energy in that place. So at least, I shouldn't say at least, around 200 yards on the ground for Jaylen Warren.
Sorry, I just wanted to just 200?
200.
Brees Hall at 58.
Yeah,
against OU.
So Warren's better than Brees Hall is.
Brees Hall just got nominated for the Doak Walker Award.
Yeah, and so should have Warren. And he's look, with all the things I just said, the energy, getting snubbed, like, this is going to be him running in front of Barry all over again. Come at me, bros. Come at me.
Cut that. By the way, you can't cut that dead air out. That was critical dead air right there.
Yeah, like, I don't even know what to say. Like,
go ahead, Ian. You've got this. Just climb right in it.
I'm going to say it's going to be the offensive line. I think that you need them to be 100% on their A game as they take on Isaiah Thomas and Nick Benito, because those two guys are massive threats and can get to Spencer Sanders. I mean, we saw what happened against Brock Purdy, the fumble for a touchdown. They put pressure on him like crazy. Your offensive line needs to be playing just lights out in order for the Cowboys to win. Because I'm going with the offensive line. You need to be healthy too.
Okay. So my turn next?
Sure.
No. Yeah.
All right. So Tay Martin was quoted this week saying, "I would expect to whoop their ass. Honestly, I don't go into a game thinking otherwise. So as long as we just do what we have to do, you know, take care of the little things, not try to do too much, do what we did to get here. Honestly, we'll be fine." Tay Martin's got something to prove. Because you know Lincoln Riley put that in the locker room this week. Put that all over. Like, that's bulletin board material, and he has to back it up. And I think he will. I think that he's a veteran, right? He's an older dude that I don't think would have said that if he didn't plan on at least trying to have a good game. Like, you can't say what he said and have three drops in a game. Like, you just can't. And so I think that he's planning on having a really good game. And I think that he has something to prove, and he's gonna live up to it. I think that he's gonna have a better game than he's had the past couple, or at least better than the Texas Tech game.
And besides the kick the ass comment, that's almost full on Gundy speak. As long as we do what we're supposed to do, the little things will be like, right. That is like full on Gundy, besides right. The we're gonna kick their ass.
Right. I mean, yeah, that's mostly coaches speak, but still, but still, that first little part of it is bulletin board material that he has to back up.
Hi, Robert.
Robert, shaking your head.
Oh, he's gonna about to say something he does not want to say. I can feel it. Spencer Sanders for 400 yards.
I like Ian. I like what Ian said about the offensive line. You know, it's almost like it's a kind of a game where come out and just nobody expects it. Just come out and just bully them, right? I don't know if they're capable, right? From an injury perspective. Go ahead, Mike.
What have we heard? What have we heard on Sills? Is he going to play?
Plantar fasciitis. He came in and he like gutted it out against Tech, but he was struggling. He was struggling to get off blocks, you know, and get to the second level.
Do we think he'll play?
He'll probably play.
I assume so.
Right. He's probably play. Yeah. I mean, he might not even practice this week. Right. Mm-hmm. And then play. I mean, I could see that, but I just think that no matter how much they want, I don't think they'll just be able to do that. Like just go out and just by sheer will do it. I would love to see Jaylen Warren go out like this, you know, almost a swan song type deal, like stick his nose in the air at the Big 12 and Gary Patterson for "You Don't Think I'm a Big 12 running back." But he honestly, he got dinged in the helmet, right? So, and OSU's got too much running back by committee, and they've all got guys that are physical. So I don't think Gundy's got any issue running in Desmond Jackson or Dominic Richardson to just continue to pound on stuff, okay? Tay Martin, shut up. Okay? Do not say anything about kicking anybody's ass in Bedlam, for crying out loud. That's clearly to me an indication of an OSU player who has not been around this long enough. Okay. You just shut up. Don't say that crap. Okay. I am going, this is my player of the game. Good Spencer Sanders.
Okay.
One of you? That is insane. Holy.
We got bad Spencer against Texas Tech. We got bad Spencer. If you listen to the radio broadcast, Dave Hunziker gasped a few times. Like there was a play down near the goal line where Spencer threw a ball, and if an earlier defensive player hadn't tipped it, some dude was about to like catch it, run in the other direction. Probably would have been a pick six. There were a couple other throws where he like rolled out to the right, threw it back across his body. And Dave Hunziker, oh my God, that should have been picked off. Okay.
Yeah.
I think you had a bad Spencer game where we got away with no picks. Right. He missed some guys.
You missed some big ones.
He threw some fades on the sideline that were awful. The ball was out of bounds. Didn't you? I mean, come on. Although, you know, Tay Martin should have caught that, you know, that one that was across the middle, and he should have caught the one in the end zone. But I don't necessarily, let's put it this way. I'm not going to say that I think it's Spencer Sanders because he's going to throw for 400. I think he's going to have more of a, you know, kind of a 13, 15 for 25 type game, and that he's going to scramble. Like he's going to be Russell Wilson style. That to me, Spencer Sanders is a little bit of a comp of Russell Wilson. That's kind of a comp, right? I don't think he's good overall, like a thrower of the ball, a passer. But I think he's going to scramble enough in the right moments to keep drives going and keep them on the field. And what they've shown in the last couple of games is the willingness to call some of those almost K-State-ish designed, like little quarterback runs where, okay, we're going to do this and we're going to get 3 or 4 yards and you can't do anything about it type plays. I think Spencer Sanders is going to be my play offensive player of the game. If OSU can win this game, I think he's the player of the game because he's going to have an unbelievably efficient game throwing the ball, just where we're not going to get any bad throws. He's going to hit the throws he needs to hit, might hit a couple of, you know, medium, deeper shots type thing. But he'll scramble enough. He'll make a couple of designed runs, things to keep OU's defense kind of at bay, right? Just to keep them at bay just enough. Because, again, I think if OSU wins this game offensively, they've got to score. They've got to score at least 24. They got to put at least 24 on the board. If Oklahoma State puts 32 or 34 on the board offensively with no defensive scores, they win this game.
Yeah.
If you told me that right now, I'd say OSU wins this game. If they put 24 on the board, which is a number they're like right locked into, then it's going to be, do we give up a defensive score? Do we make a defensive score? Do we give up a big play? Some of those things are going to come into play, but that's where I'll go. Spencer Sanders is my offensive player of the game. Jacob, wake up, Jacob.
And hell has just frozen over. Oh, I never thought I'd hear that out of you.
Right?
Yeah.
Now we got to go score predictions.
You want me to go first? Because I feel like I'm going to be the most disappointing.
No, I'll be the most disappointing. Go ahead.
I think Sooner Voodoo will strike its ugly head again. On paper, OSU is the better team, but history says otherwise. I'm going Sooners 21-17.
Ooh.
I'll leave mine for the last.
Okay.
Micah, come on.
All right. I get what Ian is saying. I totally understand. You said 21-17, Ian?
Yes.
Okay.
I hope I'm wrong, but I think that's what's going to happen.
I am going to go close to Ian's prediction. I'm going 24-17, but I have this feeling in my gut. I have had it all season that this is a Bedlam win year. And Oklahoma State 24-17.
Oh,
I know. I'm killing you, Robert. I know.
Robert, you had the stat that OSU's never won, or they've never lost a Bedlam game when the year is like one.
This century. So we've won once every 10 years plus 2014.
Right? Yeah.
So I'm in the boat with Ian. I'm in the boat with Ian. I just listen. Does OSU have a better than average shot to win this game? Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. They've got absolutely have a good enough defense. This is probably I'd say without question. Previously 2013 was the best defense they'd ever pulled into Bedlam, and that defense held OU to 24 points, I think, 24, 25 points, right? I think the last score was a defensive score for OU. And I think this defense is better than that defense. I just feel like they've been on such a run. Excuse me. They've been playing mediocre teams. We've been playing Kansas, TCU, West Virginia, Texas Tech. These are not offensive juggernaut teams. I know they had big games, you know, the week prior, you know, to a degree, I kind of, you know, they caught those teams off guard. I feel like Lincoln Riley will figure out how to hit a big play or two. That, like, most of the game, they're going to shut them down. Like, they're going to, like, block them up. It's going to be a slog. It's just going to be this. I personally, I don't know about anybody else, I feel like this game's going to be just, like, just ugly, just not pretty football, you know, that neither team's going to be doing anything really spectacular, but that OU will figure out maybe how to hit a couple. Like, they might hit a deep pass, right, that other teams have not been able to hit on, where maybe we've gotten pass interference or whatever, that they'll actually be able to hit one of those for the big score, right, which nobody else has really hit on. So I feel like their offense is going to hit on one or two big plays, enough whether they're scores or not, but it's going to be enough that's going to provide scores that I think OSU's offense is going to do what it's done all year. They'll end up scoring 20. They'll probably end up scoring 21 points, maybe 24. But that OSU, this is going to end up being like a 20. This is going to end up being like a 28-21, 28-24 game, maybe a 24-21 game OU. I just think that this is bedlam. I hate to do that, but this is bedlam. It's just not happening until I wake up the next morning and I see it on Twitter or in the Tulsa World or in the Oklahoman.
Yeah.
As soon as that clock hits zero, that's how I'm going to feel about the game. Like, it's not over.
That's how we're going to know. All right,
either really sad or really happy.
We've left you for the last, Jacob.
One more thing I want to touch on before he goes off. OSU has won 9 straight against the spread. Something to keep in mind. The spread is -4 right now.
Oh, it's growing.
It's yes. Yeah. Is that?
That's a good sign. It's a good sign.
I agree with him. It is, but I mean.
So again, I've watched a lot of OU football. I've watched a lot of Caleb Williams. I've seen what they do against decent defenses, and I don't know what they can do against our defense. I think, like I said, Jalen Warren is going to go off, and I am predicting 38-14. I can see Ian Grin with multiple defensive scores. I think our offense puts up 24 and the defense basically puts up the rest. With what I've seen the last two games, how easily not great pass rushes have gotten after Caleb Williams, with our pressure, the way we cover, I don't see it happening. And they got nothing to lose. That is my key thing.
Ian, I'm going to say this. You heard what I said earlier, right?
Mm-hmm.
If OSU's offense puts up 30 plus,
I think
they win by double digits.
This team literally has nothing to lose. They get to win the Big 12 title game, which is the goal every year. I know they want to think about the college football playoff, but even coming this season, that wasn't a thing. They've got nothing to lose. And they're playing with house money, and it's in Stillwater at night. And I think, and unlike a lot of places, Stillwater at night is a really tough place.
And this could be Gundy's last bedlam in Stillwater.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Very well could be. And so I think all the things working, all the snubs, just everything, a lot of these guys, some of these guys have been here for 6 years and never won bedlam. I think all that work in is going to
send them to the SEC with a loss.
Yeah.
We're playing them again next year in Norman. Yeah.
But I mean, all of everything coming together is the perfect potion for a win.
I don't believe it.
I get.
I'm like, not believing it. I am not believing it.
You had me, and then you lost me, right? Like you had me with OSU can win this game. I just the differential. I'm not with. Like I'm not with. Yeah,
that's fine. But
I don't know. This feels,
and I've been feeling this for a couple of weeks. Ian knows this.
I do.
That if we run into this game with nothing to lose, because we can still win the Big 12 title game. We got nothing to lose.
It costs OSU nothing to lose this game.
Right.
It costs them nothing. You could, if anybody on
this it changes their opponent right though, right? Now, right now, but no. Even then.
Yeah.
If anybody brings up you at home, anything you're not about them college them. Football playoff here.
Well, right. No, exactly. It costs us nothing to lose. Off.
We're gonna end the call right here.
No. What I'm saying is that that defense, will be able to fly freer than they've ever flown this entire season. They will be everywhere, and they're just going to crush this team that has shown when they play decent, not good, decent defenses, they struggle. We struggled against Kansas for all.
They struggled against Tulane.
Yeah, exactly. So, like I'm saying, they've never seen a defense like this, and I mean, that's going to change the game.
I am going to regret this, and I know I'm going to regret this, but I've had a White Claw, and I don't give a shit.
Oh, no.
Like, I thought OU was a fraud all season. Like, I haven't thought that they were as good as people thought they were all year.
No, they're not the number 8 or 9 team in the country, whatever the CFP said they were.
Number 10. But
anyways, number
10. That's...
Moving on.
I'm not saying anything. I'm not saying anything. Because here's the thing. If you can't beat OU at home, you're not going to beat them in Arlington. Straight up.
Right.
This game is pretty important if you want to win the Big 12 title. We all know this.
No one has ever... Playing a team twice in a row is hard. Especially 8 days apart. And I honestly, if we lose, I think we win Arlington.
No.
Like I would worry more if we won and had to play OU again. I would worry more about losing Arlington than I would about the reverse.
I'm glad that's not the goal because I think we would have lost twice. Honestly,
I don't. You're wrong.
Am I?
I have to say, I don't know. I don't know.
Sorry, that was worth the face, dude.
I would say this. Oklahoma State, you're right, Ian. If this was one of those things where we kind of think Oklahoma State might be okay, good enough to maybe they can pull this off. Oklahoma State, I would be clear here. The only reason I'm not picking OSU to win this game is because I know better. It's Bedlam.
Right.
Okay. Right. Oklahoma State is not walking into this game the lesser team. Now, am I going to sit here and go, oh, they're by far and away the better team? No, I'm not.
Right.
Okay. They're way better defensively. They're not as good offensively. Right. There's going to be, there's some trade-off there. But Oklahoma State's walking into this game with a team that is absolutely 100% capable of winning this game.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I think all results are on the table. Like, well, no, I'm going to take that back. There's one result that's not on the table here, and I will say it right here. OU is not blowing this team out. They're not going to blow OSU out.
Right.
Okay. You're not going to do that against this defense. Now, could you mess around and win by a couple of touchdowns? You know, win like 24-10 or 28-14. Yeah, you could do that because OSU's offense could pitch that kind of game.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not OU's not walking in here and winning this game 35-17. No, right. You're not doing that. So to me, it's OU wins a tough game, right? Could be close. They might win by 10 points type of thing, but OSU could win a tough game that's close. OSU, to me, is if there's going to be a blowout, the odds are OSU would be the team to blow out somebody, right, if that's going to happen. But this is bedlam. This is bedlam. I don't care. I'm not going to predict an OSU win. I wouldn't do that. There's no way. I will say this. If OSU loses this game, I'm going to tell you right now that they beat OU in Arlington. And when they do, Micah pees her pants. If you don't think I'm capable of multitasking, you are mistaken.
Well, I said that in chat, so you didn't say it out loud.
You don't ever share anything with me. I tell all my friends, if you share anything with me, it's going on social media.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, so that's where I'm at.
But also, you're correct. I would pee my pants.
I ultimately think it's a 7-point game either way.
I think it's a 7-point game either way.
Yeah. I don't anticipate a blowout.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good prediction. So 7 points one way or the other, give or take, could be 3-7, you know, whatever. I think that's a good guess.
Yeah. I think
you could hit two. Oh, the under? What's
49.5. Yeah, I think
I've got to go with the over at this point.
Yeah, same. I'm going with the over too.
I'm sticking with the under. Under all year has been the under all year.
Except when we laughed about it and they put up 60 on Kansas.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah. That and then TCU.
And TCU.
Then I picked the over against Texas Tech, and that turned out great.
Yeah, I think TCU and Kansas were the exceptions. OU is not TCU and Kansas. So, listen, I picked the under. God, if it's the over, OSU wins. If it's the over, OSU wins.
Agreed. 100%. I think.
There you go.
What a show, Cowboys and Cowgirls.
Our best show.
What a time. What a time.
Please, everyone, have a safe and happy Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving to all of y'all. Hope y'all get to spend time with y'all's families. We will be back on Monday to recap everything, hopefully, after an Oklahoma State victory in Bedlam for the first time in a long time.
Oh, I want to give a shout out to somebody.
All right.
I want to give a shout out to Steve and Stephanie King, whose daughter is marching in a band, is marching in the Macy's Day Parade up here in New York City. And they happened to be in Stamford, Connecticut today, where the band was doing some practice down here at Chelsea Piers. And, you know, they DM'd me. We hooked up, had a great visit. Just super, super folks, super salt of the earth folks.
That's awesome. You
know,
I love that.
From Oklahoma, from near, you know, in Broken Arrow. Just super folks. Was so nice to see them. So just a little shout out.
That's probably where I'll be watching Bedlam from on Saturday's Broken Arrow. So shout out to them. All right. Well, until next time, Cowboys and Cowgirls, have a good one.
It is 8:43 or 8:45, and OU still sucks.
That's all right. I stopped the recording, I think.
That says it's still recording.
It says still recording. Yo, yeah. There we go. Yes.